Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves.
And in need of, oh God, and you are able to meet our needs. And we bless you and we praise you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this big-hearted pastor, Lord, Pastor Dunkley, Lord. I pray, God, that you continue to crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord God. Lord, that you bless his hand going and coming, Father God. Lord, that you put people in his pathway, Lord, that will be a blessing to him and his family, his mother, his father, God. You know his need, Lord. Meet that need, O Heavenly Father. And then give him the strength he needs, God, and the grace, God, as he travels up and down the dangerous highways to take care of his family, his mother, and his father. Lord, we pray not only for Mount Olive, but we pray for all of the ministries that are uplifting your name, doors open in your name, men and women called to preach and proclaim your gospel. Standing on the wall declaring that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of thee is eternal life. We pray mightily, O God. And Father, we always pray that souls will be saved. Our purpose, Lord, is to glorify you, Lord, and to edify your people, Lord God, and to seek out those that are lost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this mission. And thank you, Lord, that you are helping us to meet these needs. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. And thank you, God.
How are you?
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And he is good all the time. And we give him the glory. We thank God for this day. We thank God for this opportunity. We bless you, Pastor Dunkley and Sister Dunkley. And we thank God for the 24 years that you have served here at Mount Olive, but I'm sure the ministry has been going on much longer than that. Yeah, I believe you said that your mother put it in you from birth at your childhood. And so God just completing the work that was begun. Say good morning to you, Mount Olive, and bless God for all of you and to my husband and my family. Our scripture reading comes from Titus, the second chapter of Titus. That's the book between Hebrews and Timothy, 2 Timothy and Hebrews. And verses 11 through 14. And I'm reading the New International Version of it, and it says, for the grace, okay, let me wait. I still hear pages turning. When you have it, say amen. Okay, and if you don't, just tell me to wait a minute, Sister Lamley. I want to be able to follow you in the word. Okay. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own and eager to do what is good. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God, it will stand forever. I want to talk for a few minutes on that subject. Just say no. Just say no. And that first verse, it said it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. Just say no. I read from you from the New International Version, but this Bible is so big because this is the parallel Bible, and it gives me different translations. So the King James Version says, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, upright, and godly in this present world. So the verb there is denying. And then it says in the Living Bible, it says, it teaches us or it warns us to turn from godliness living and sinful pleasure and to live good. So the word is to turn from. Yeah. And the Revised Standard Version says, it trains us to renounce irreligion and worldly passion and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world. And so I read you those different translations or different version of it, but it all boils down to the same thing, to just say what? No. Just say no. Paul is the writer of this book, and he's writing to Titus, his young assistant in the ministry. And Titus was a Gentile that Paul had led to Christ. Titus traveled with Paul in different places, and in Jerusalem they wanted Paul to circumcise Titus because he was a Gentile, but Paul refused because he didn't want anything to get in the way of the gospel message, that you are the law to compromise the gospel message, that salvation is not through the law, but it is through Jesus Christ and what he has already done at Calvary's cross. So Paul and Titus, they traveled in different places, and they landed on the island of Crete. And this is where Titus is now, and Paul is writing this letter to him. Paul was there with him, and they had evangelized several towns, but Paul had to leave. And so he writes back to Titus to tell Titus to complete the work that they had begun, because they had begun the work, they had evangelized people, but they hadn't set the church in order. And so Titus was to set the church in order. In other words, he was to put some organization in the midst of the church, set up leaders, ordained leaders in those churches that they had established as they traveled throughout that community over there. And so, you know, it's very important to have leaders. Because when there is no leader, then the people, what? They do as they please, every man in his own eyes. And so God ordained that there would be leaders, pastors, over the church to give us leadership and directions as God leads and guides him. And so that's what Paul instructed Titus to do, set up leaders in the church, ordain ministers. And he gave specific qualifications for the pastors and or the bishops of the church, primarily the same qualification that it was that he gave to Timothy. So Paul is the overseer, and he's kind of refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And so here in this particular chapter, in verse chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy, he says, Titus, you have to deal with all kinds of people, Titus. And he gives instructions to Titus for the church, the people in the church, not only for the church leaders and how they're supposed to be blameless and without fault and strong and standing firm on the gospel, but he also gives instructions for the men of the church, the women of the church, and the young women of the church, and the young men of the church. So he organizes the church. And we will do well to follow some of the examples that Paul has given to this young pastor to pass on to the church. He says to the old men, you need to be what? Temperate. You need to be serious about what you're doing. And you know, and we're living in a society where the reason why this lesson is so important to just say no, because we're living in a society where everything goes. And you know, that hasn't changed in the world. It was like that already, that everything goes, you know, if it feels good to you, do it. But when it reaches in the church, see, the church had standards. You notice the church had standards, godly standards, that we would abide by. But now it seems like the world is creeping in the church. And instead of the church taking the lead, the world has taken the lead. I don't care what it is. If God says it's not right, it's not right. It's just not right. It ain't right. If that's what God says, it ain't right. And we have to stand on what God said. We have to stand on the word of God. I don't care how much I love you, I still have to tell you what thus said the Lord. I still have to stand on what the word of God says. But sometimes we get so caught up with our parishioners that we love them so much that we can't tell them when they're wrong. You see what I'm saying? We can't tell them when they're right. I mean, when they're wrong. We can't rebuke as the Bible say and chastise as the Bible say. Call them into question as the Bible say. But as leaders and men and women of God, we have to stand. And you may not like me, but I gotta love you. And I have to love you enough to tell you the truth. And you know, sometimes people love their children. And the reason why I say that, because it's happening in the church where we're allowing anything to go on in our homes. You see what I'm saying? We love our children so much, we can't tell them, well, you can't bring that man up in here. He's not sleeping in my house. It's not right. It's not according to the word of God. And if it ain't right, it ain't right. And if you want to leave and go with him, that's you. But I've told you what thus said the Lord. And what you do with what I tell you is between you and God. But the blood is no longer on my hands. And so Paul writes to Titus to give him instructions for the old men, older men, and the older women. You know, nobody don't want to be called old no more. You know, everybody think they got it going on. Still think they got it going on. And yeah, you got it going on, but look, in your season. Yeah. Be in your season. You see what I'm saying? You don't have what you had at 20. And it ain't no sense in you walking around with that earring in your ear and busting the sad. You don't have it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have it. So we need to know what season we're in and walk in that season. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I spake like a child. But when I became a man, you got to put away with all that other stuff. You're no longer in that season anymore. And if you will allow, the Holy Spirit will help us to grow old gracefully. He will help us to grow old gracefully. But he says to you, older men, he says you ought to be in self-control. You ought to be disciplined. You can't go around doing any and everything and expect the young men to follow you or to be an example for the young men. You cannot do it. You cannot live any kind of way. I heard Pastor Dunkley say, you just can't talk love. You got to put it in action. You just can't talk about God. You got to be godly. You got to live the life that we talk about. We got to take a stand. People need to know. The world has to know so they can get some separation in here. Because I'm telling you, it's almost like you can't tell these days. So there need to be a clear picture of where we stand, church. And who we stand for. And then stand. Did you understand that? There needs to be a clear picture. There needs to be no misunderstanding about where the church stands and who we are standing for. And then stand. Yes, you're going to have some opposition. Yes, you're going to be challenged. Jesus was challenged. But he did not move from where he stood. He said, I came to do the will of the Father. And whoever did not like that, that was on them. But it wasn't because he didn't stand. And because he took a stand, there were many that were saved. They knew and received that message. Because believe it or not, the lost are looking for a way out. They are looking for a way out. But they are looking for a people that will be godly and stand for God. So he says, oh men, you need to be in control of yourself. Have respect for yourself. He says, be sound in the faith and in love and endurance. You have to be sound in the faith. In other words, I know what I believe, who I believe, what I believe, and I'm not moving from that. And then not only that, but I'm living it. Yeah, I'm living it. I'm not talking it, but I'm living the life. And then he goes on to tell us. I said that nobody wants to be old. And we don't want to be old either. You know, we, the older women, yeah, me, myself included. We think we still got it going on. Yeah, y'all speak for yourself, because I do. But I'm just saying, in our season, God has us here for purpose. Everybody in the church, y'all have purpose. We're not just here to be here. We have purpose. And all the women, the younger women, are watching us.
They are.
And we ought to be an example or a pattern that they'll want to follow after. We ought to be an example.
Yeah.
It says, us, we ought not be gossipers. You know, want to talk, we talk so much. Just gossip and slander and just all that we have to talk about is somebody else or what's going on with somebody else. And we're not living nothing ourselves. You make sure that you are living right before you open your mouth up against anybody else. Make sure you have your ducks lined up in a row, because people have a tendency, they want to talk about everybody else and they're not living nothing themselves. They want to come down on everybody else. But they're not living nothing. So before we do that, make sure all of our ducks are in a row. Then we're able to be able to talk to the young women, he said, and tell them or teach them how to be good wives to their husbands. Because we demonstrated by me being a good wife to you, Lavelle. Even though you do all the cooking. You know. We have that understanding. Somebody got to cook, you know. Why not you, brother? You do so well. But it said, teach them how to be good wives to their husbands, the young women. And maybe you don't have a good a husband, but if you carry yourself in a way, you see what I'm saying? God will send you somebody. But not only that, you ought to carry yourself in a way that it brings honor and respect to you. That our children can look at us and respect us. That other young women can come and want to sit down and have a talk with you. Because they respect you. They see God in you. That's the kind of life that Paul tells Titus. Teach them that. That's the kind of life that God, that's our purpose. Young, older women. To be role models for younger women. And teach them how to live godly, chaste lives. Before their husband or before their children. That the children may even honor and respect them. Many times our children don't respect us mothers because we are doing everything before them. We want our miniskirt on, you know what I'm saying? And want our chest wide open down to the bare bone. Tattoos all over us.
Oh, Lord.
So the kid want to be our kid's friend, buddy, pal. They calling you by your first name, Mary, or Sister Girl, or whoever. All that. So Paul, he writes to Titus, and he says, you got to teach him. Organize the church. So there will be some order in the body of Christ. And not only will there be order, but there will be growth in the body of Christ. Because when other people see that the church is organized and functioning according to the will of God, they'll want to be a part of that family. They'll want to come in. And so here he tells them, he says, teach them, be young men, be men of integrity, self-control, be an example, doing what is good. Show that you are serious about what you're doing. Have soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Even if they oppose you, even if they say something about you, you can say that's a lie. And then other folks will testify for you. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. Somebody else will say that's a lie. It's not true. I don't believe it. So what I'm saying, we got to live it here, and then we got to live it when we go home. You know, we got to live it out there. And then other people will be testimonies of our goodness. He says, he writes, he says, I want you to be able to organize and teach them to do what is right, what is good. Teach sound doctrine, stuff that you can stand on, stuff that God has stamped his approval on, which is the word of God. And that's how you're going to be blessed and grow. And he says, why? Why should I do this? Why? Why should I just say no? Why should I do this? He says here, right here in this 11th verse, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has